Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the website ClassicFM.com and Parade Magazine. Question number one, how many children did Johann Sebastian Bach have? Was it A, 0, B, 5, C, 10, or D, 20? Number of Johann Sebastian Bach's children? How many? And question number two, what was the longest-running rock single of the 1960s decade? Was it A, Aretha Franklin's Respect, B, the Beatles' Hey Jude, C, Elvis Presley's It's Now or Never, D, the Beach Boys' Good Vibrations, or E, the Temptations' My Girl? Longest-running rock single of the 1960s. Which one of those was it, anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of March the 6th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1853 that Giuseppe Verdi's La Traviata, l'opera, debuted in Venice. That was 1853, today. And it was 32 years ago today, 1994, that the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that parodies that poke fun at an original work can be considered, quote-unquote, fair use that does not require permission from the copyright holder. Weird Al could now rest easier since that ruling on this day back in 1994. And finally, in transitions, we have this article titled, Neil Sedaka, Legendary Singer-Songwriter, Dies. This is written by Jem Aswad and Peyton Turkeltaub in Variety magazine on the 27th of February, 2026. Neil Sedaka, the singer-songwriter behind hits like Breaking Up Is Hard to Do, Bad Blood, Calendar Girl, and Love Will Keep Us Together, and Laughter in the Rain, has died. A rep confirms to Variety. He was 86. Sedaka is survived by his wife, Liba Strasberg, whom he married in 1962, and his two children, Mark and Dara. Over the course of his six-decade-plus career, Sadaka was nominated for 5 Grammy Awards. In 1983, he was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame, and in 1978, received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. A member of the same Brooklyn generation that produced Barbara Streisand, Neil Diamond, Carol King, and many others, Sadaka was born on March 13, 1939, and grew up in the borough's Brighton Beach neighborhood. He showed early musical aptitude, and his second-grade teacher recommended piano lessons. Within a couple of years, he had successfully auditioned for a scholarship to the Juilliard School of Music's Preparatory Division for Children, and continued at Juilliard throughout his teens. While he initially pursued classical music, he was bitten by the pop music bug as a teen. At the age of 13, a neighbor heard him playing piano and introduced him to her son, Howard Greenfield. The pair began a songwriting partnership that was to take them to the top of the pop charts multiple times over the following 25 years. Sadaka began performing during high school, and after graduating, he formed a doo-wop group with classmates. The group evolved into the Tokens, who scored a global smash in 1961 with The Lion Sleeps Tonight. Sadaka parlayed that success into a solo deal with the RCA Victor label, and soon had hits of his own with Oh Carol, written for Carol King. They had dated in high school. Calendar Girl, Happy Birthday, Sweet 16, Next Door to an Angel, Breaking Up is Hard to Do, and others. However, the advent of the Beatles and the British Invasion signaled a major change in pop course, and Sadaka sidelined his solo career to focus on songwriting. He and Greenfield wrote hits for Frank Sinatra, Elvis Presley, Tom Jones, The Monkees, The Fifth Dimension, and others. In 1973, Sadaka met longtime fan Elton John at a party in London, and he soon signed with the superstar's new record label, Rocket. In 1974, he had his first U.S. number one in nearly 13 years with Laughter in the Rain, the song that introduced this article. The success of the Captain and Tennille's version of Love Will Keep Us Together soon followed, and suddenly Sadaka was a major star again. In 2022, Sadaka officially retired from songwriting, and he sold his song catalog.
I saw an old friend, someone who I used to take comfort from long before I met you.
And in country, folk, and Americana music news, Dolly Parton and Keisha introduced this article titled Brandi Carlile, A Powerful Voice. This is written by Andrew Chu, and it's published in Time magazine on the 9th of March, 2026. It's the best of times and the worst of times for Brandi Carlile. Professionally, the 44-year-old singer-songwriter is on fire. Her 8th studio album, Returning to Myself, was released in October to critical acclaim, achieving the second-highest Billboard chart position of her career. She was a featured guest on CNN's New Year's Eve Live, performed a poignant rendition of America the Beautiful at the Super Bowl in February, and is now on a massive global tour across the U.S. and Europe. I can't believe I get to go out and play all these new songs. It's like I've got 8 shiny new cars, she says. The songs on Returning to Myself tackle love and fear, selfhood and nationhood. She loves them with a passion that I have not loved songs with since I was a teenager, she says. One standout, Joni, documents her blossoming friendship with Joni Mitchell, whose career comeback she helped spearhead following the folk legend's ruptured brain aneurysm in 2015. Carlisle says that her work in bringing Mitchell back to the stage, which began with jams at Mitchell's home and culminated in iconic performances at the 2022 Newport Folk Festival and the 2024 Grammys, falls into the category of my legacy as a human, like raising my kids, marrying, and honoring my parents, she says. Given these feats, Carlisle is trying her best to savor the rarefied air she is now breathing. I'm definitely at a time in my life when I feel the most vibrant, the most aware, the most centered, the most grateful. But she is also grappling with her role as an artist in an increasingly divided and often violent world. On the 2024 night Donald Trump was elected president for the second time, she wrote, "Church and State, Singing of a Failing Empire." She performed a fiery rendition of the song on Saturday Night Live in November. "I feel a big responsibility to meet the moment," she says. One of Carlisle's most famous lyrics confronts sexism. "You get discouraged, don't you, girl? It's your brother's world for a while longer," she sings on 2017's The Joke, which won 2 Grammys. Carlisle says that when it comes to women's rights nearly a decade later, it feels like we're in a backslide. It's not just about what the media is saying. It's an innate animal instinct that knows we have a heightened level of danger right now. When Carlisle sang America the Beautiful before the big game, the crowd roared in approval, and the Jumbotron showed soldiers standing at attention from the Middle East. But Carlisle didn't necessarily think of the performance as a patriotic ode. "I view this song as much more prayer than celebration," she says. "It can be a lament, a bastion of hope, in a time when there isn't a lot of that on offer." And in rock music news, it's an article titled, "Meet the Godmother of Rock and Roll, Who Shaped a Generation." This is written by Nina Cleaving in Parade magazine on the 18th of February, 2026. Born in 1915 to singers in Arkansas, Sister Rosetta Tharpe is forever cemented in the history of music as the quote-unquote godmother of rock and roll. Raised solely by her mother, Katie Bell Newbin, Tharpe's birth name, Rosie Etta Atkins, entire life was shaped by the hands of a performer. She began singing and playing guitar in front of audiences at just 4 years old. After moving to Chicago in 1921, Tharp and her mother toured with an evangelist troupe throughout the South. The two continued performing together through the 1930s. When Tharp turned 19 in 1935, she married a preacher, Thomas Tharp. Another performance duo, the two played radio shows where Tharp sang and played guitar while her husband at the time preached. Within 3 years, the marriage ended and Tharp moved to New York City. Performing at the Apollo Theater and Cotton Club, Tharp began professionally recording in 1941. She toured with Lucky Millinder and his orchestra until 1943. Her work was often criticized as she was raised in the church and her sound reflected that of gospel. Tharp's love of jazz, blues, nightclubs, and dancers, her knack for the guitar, which at the time was not something women did, it did not sit right with the religious community. As Tharp rose higher in status during the 1940s, she was still subject to Jim Crow laws, requiring racial segregation in many public places. Tharp could perform alongside white artists, but she could not travel or eat or stay in the same places as them. While life proceeded to hand her its challenges, Tharp's continued meshing and banding of genres that led the foundation for rock and roll allowed her to express herself in ways that were not typical of the time, according to the National Women's History Museum. Tharp remarried in 1951, holding a wedding concert combination alongside her third and final husband, Russell Morrison, and over 25,000 fans. Her lengthy career amassed over a dozen albums, countless hit songs, and collaborations with artists such as Marie Knight, who was bridesmaid in her marriage to Morrison, and Muddy Waters. Tharp toured throughout Europe during the late 1950s and early 60s, her music influencing the British blues revival and the next generation of rock and roll. It was tours featuring the likes of Big Bill Brunsney, Sonny Terry, and Brownie McGee, Muddy Waters, and in 1957, Sister Rosetta Tharp that had such a profound impact on young British musicians who are now household names, writes Guitar World, such as Peter Green, Paul McCartney, Eric Clapton, Keith Richards, Jimmy Page, and Jeff Beck. The list is endless. In a 1957 interview with the Daily Mirror, Tharp noted, "All this new stuff they call rock and roll? Why, I've been playing that for years now." Tharp died on October 9, 1973, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. In 1970, she suffered from a stroke and encountered a tough journey with diabetes. She had a leg amputated from health complications before passing from another stroke at the age of 58. Her legacy, however, remains. Between a USPS-produced postage stamp, a 2007 induction into the Blues Hall of Fame, a 2017 induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and a musical chronicling her life, Shout, Sister, Shout. It's safe to say Sister Rosetta Tharp left a lasting impact on artists across the world. And in local music news, we have this article titled, "This Wilmington Musician Hosts Rock Shows at His Pretzel Shop." This is written by Daniel Sheehan, Wilmington Star News, January the 4th, 2026. Whether it's music or food, Aidan Crofton has a talent for pushing ideas beyond preconceived boundaries. The Crofton's Pretzels owner doesn't see his shop on the corner of 17th and Market Streets as just a place for serving salty baked goods and local beers. It's a hub for creators to execute their visions while surrounded by local music. The business owner is bolstering the Wilmington music scene by opening the shop to local acts at night. Aidan Crofton and Brian Granger are working together to move Crofton Pretzel from a low-key storefront on Oleander Drive to a very high-profile spot inside the former Shop & Co. at the corner of 17th and Market Streets. The store had its grand opening on Saturday, August 31, 2022. Crofton's shop on Market Street has become a staple for local rock bands. Frequently asked questions about Crofton's Pretzels. What's the best way to get to Crofton's Pretzels? Whether you're coming from out of town or just a short drive away, Crofton's Pretzels is located at 1620 Market Street in Wilmington, North Carolina. For directions and parking information, visit Crofton's Pretzels' official website at croftonpretzels.com. That's spelled CROFTONS. PRETZELS.com or call them at 1-910-236-9667. Make sure to check out other concerts and live events happening in Wilmington, North Carolina on Bands in Town. That's one word, by the way. What other concert venues are near Crofton's Pretzels? If you're looking to explore more live shows in Wilmington, North Carolina, there are plenty of popular venues nearby. Check out the upcoming concerts and events at nearby venues, including Live Oak Bank Pavilion, Greenfield Lake Amphitheater, and Wilson Center at Cape Fear Community College. So, how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, how many children did Johann Sebastian Bach have? Was it A, none, B, 5, C, 10, or D, 20? The classical music magazine Interlude notes that the correct answer is answer D, 20. 7 with his first marriage to his second cousin, and 13 with his second wife. As noted in a December 21, 2021 article in Classic FM, titled, Question, How Many Children Did Bach Have? Answer, Loads. 209 surviving church cantatas, dozens of concertos, countless organ preludes and fugues, and 20 children. J.S. Bach was a very busy man. Johann Sebastian Bach, with his wives Maria Barbara and Anna Magdalena, fathered 20 children over his lifetime. His first was born in 1708 when Bach was 23, and his last coming into the world in 1742 when the composer was 57. Sadly, only half of his children survived through to adulthood. The Bachs were always a musical family, with a house full of instruments, and Johann Sebastian was always keen to compose pieces for his wife, children, and the community they lived in. And the answer to our second question, what was the longest-running rock single of the 1960s decade? Was it A, Aretha Franklin's Respect? Was it B, the Beatles' Hey Jude? Was it C, Elvis Presley's It's Now or Never? Was it D, the Beach Boys' Good Vibrations? Or was it E, the Temptations' My Girl? And the correct answer is...
Don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better.
Answer B, The Beatles, Hey Jude. As noted in Parade magazine on February 26, 2026, the piano-driven ballad Hey Jude became both the longest-running single of 1968 and the longest-running rock single of the entire decade, spending a staggering 19 weeks on the charts overall. Hey Jude even managed to hang out at the very top of the Billboard Hot 100 for 9 weeks. The longest running single of the 1960s in any genre, by the way, was the instrumental Theme from a Summer Place by Percy Faith and his orchestra. As Beatles fans are probably aware, Hey Jude was originally called Hey Jules and was written by Paul McCartney in an attempt to comfort John Lennon's son Julian as he dealt with the divorce of his parents, John and his first wife, Cynthia Lennon. I started singing, "Hey Jules, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better," McCartney recalled in the Beatles anthology. It was optimistic, a hopeful message for John and for Julian. As a nod to Neil Sedaka, let's close out today's program with the number one hit he wrote for Captain and Tennille in 1975. Here's Love Will Keep Us Together. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words: kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.